Well, good morning. Thank you for responding back. I love that. We work with kids, so we always want interaction, so I love when you guys talk back. Like Chris said, my name is Kaylee Barnes. I have been a part of Crossroads / Oakford Baptist Church for 18 years. I have been married for 11 and a half years to my super supportive, handsome, charming husband, Zach, here in the front row. And we have two little girls. Shay is 7, and Mika is 4. And they are wonderful little girls. Though if you will see them, when you see them on Sundays, number one, they act like they run the church. They are super comfortable here, and like we have to restrain them from going and saying hi to all their friends because they love being here so much. Number two, they're always matching. If you see them on Sunday, that's because they're matching because at this point, I still get to decide what they wear. And until they decide, Mom, we just really hate the clothes that you're putting us in, they're going to continue to match. So if you see them, they're always matching on Sundays. I love getting to work here. I have the pleasure of serving in our middle school and our high school ministries here at Crossroads. Love, love, love getting to work with volunteers. I'm biased, but we have the best volunteers because they give so much to making sure that the ministries here at Crossroads happen. I love my job here. It's incredible to get to serve your families. But one of the things that I love right now is looking out and being able to see moms of all different life phases as I look out. Some of you, your kids have long flown the nest, and you are loving, loving, loving those grandbabies. You are loving spoiling them and then sending them home all sugared up to their parents to deal with them. Some of you are waiting through the teen years. Super fun, right? All the time, super fun. Sometimes you're up late wondering if they're going to make it home at night on time, and they're driving, and there's an extra stress there. Some of you guys are working through elementary school. And I love watching my little elementary schooler. She's in first grade. I never knew that first grade could have so much drama. Like, I didn't know that was a thing. And then, you know, some of you tonight, or today, I'm sorry, I see it right here. See it under your eyes. You are up all night with that baby that won't sleep. And so whether you're in no matter what part of life raising kids that you're in, I'm so thankful that you chose to spend your Mother's Day here with me, here at Crossroads with us. I have a confession to make, though, before I get started on the rest of my notes, that when I was in that phase of having babies, I skipped Mother's Day at church for a lot of years in a row. Because what I wanted the most was for someone else to take my kid and to let me lay in my bed by myself. So probably 3 or 4 Mother's Days in a row, my rock star of a husband would get our little girls up and bring them to church and take care of them so that I could be by myself. No noise, no crying, no pacifiers, no diapers, none of that. So if you're here today and you have those tiny babies, thanks for making it out. I understand that it can be a sacrifice to get up and to get here. I love getting to look out here and see all of you guys today. It's so awesome. You know what? As a mom, there is a uniqueness to the influence that we get to have with our children. There is no other person on this planet that has the influence that you have in your child's life. Now, I'm not saying that dads don't have influence, but you know what? You get your day in a month, and so we'll celebrate you then. It'll be awesome, and that's a whole other sermon. But today, we're going to talk about moms. We're going to talk about how distinct and unique our role is in our children's life. I want to take a quick look back over Scripture. So anytime that I get a chance to talk, I like to do a really quick overview of what this book is because I realize that some of you have come to church your entire life and you're super comfortable with what this is. Some of you are just checking this out and not really sure, like, okay, so it's a book, but like, how does it work? So for me, the way I like to talk about it is the first 2/3 of this book are basically the story of God creating mankind until Jesus came. It's the story of God pursuing man. It's the story of God pursuing humanity, wanting to have a relationship with his people. And so in the very beginning, he created the heavens and the earth. He created day and he created night. He created fish and he created birds and trees. And then the pinnacle of his creation was mankind. And one of the very first things that God told Adam and Eve after he'd created them, the very first thing he told them to do, one of them, was to be fruitful and multiply. And they succeeded because we're all here today. He wanted them to fill the earth And so they did that. And then after that, his intent, once they started having babies, his intent was for them to pass their faith down within the home, within the family. That within the family, the mom and the dad were supposed to share their faith with their children. Now, most people back in those days, they couldn't read or write. So they didn't have fancy scriptures to read like we have today. It was passed down by a mom every day, investing and instilling in her child. And that's kind of what we want to talk about today. If they'll bring up the scripture here, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses wrote a passage of scripture that's super important for us, and that's we're gonna land here for a little bit today. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk around, walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the doorframes of your houses and on your gates." So the idea here was not just this, every once in a while I'll talk about it. No, it's like, hey, on your way to soccer practice, sneak something in. When you find out somebody's had a bad day, pray with them. It's not supposed to be something that's just hit and miss. This scripture tells us that we're supposed to talk about it all the time, that it becomes a regular part of our lives. But what happened, you guys, is that the Israel didn't succeed at this. That God's chosen people, they didn't do an awesome job. In fact, they got distracted and they were unfaithful to their God. They wanted something they could see. They wanted something they could touch, and they didn't understand always where he was. And so because of that, they ran after other gods. And they were unfaithful to him. And over the course of time, God saw these things, and that's when he sent Jesus to the earth. That last third of the Bible talks about how Jesus came and how after Jesus rose, then the church, this movement of people who believed in Jesus, exploded. Do you know, friends, that the day that Jesus died, we call it Good Friday. Do you know that the day Jesus died, there were no Christians? Those 12 men who followed Jesus around for 3 years, taking in everything they could see, everything they could hear from him, do you know that the day he died, they all went home? They had followed this man around their countryside, listening, believing, hearing the things that he had said. And then I can imagine them sitting around that night thinking, what did we just do? How did we miss this? How did we go for 3 years with this guy, and then all of a sudden he's gone? 3 days later, when the ladies went to the tomb to check it out, they didn't go there expecting that Jesus wouldn't be there. I think they probably went there because they wanted to make sure that Jesus' body was taken care of properly. Sometimes as ladies, we like to redo whatever our man does because we're not sure if they did it right, right? I think they went to make sure Jesus' body was embalmed properly, and to their surprise, when he wasn't there, history changed forever. You see, when Jesus' disciples, when he gave them that great commission to go out, to tell everyone about him, they didn't tell people about God because of what the Bible told them. They didn't tell people about this cool thing because that's what the Bible told them to do. They told people because they could not contain their excitement for this thing that had happened. This man who had changed their lives, they could not stop from telling people about him. They could not hold back the things that they wanted to share with other people. And so what happened is the church exploded. It wasn't just groups of people that sat together. These were people who could not stop themselves from sharing the love, sharing the joy, sharing the hope that Jesus Christ had offered them. And so if you were to study the church, if you were to study from that point until now, you would see some trends. There's been some things that have happened over the course of the church. Some really cool things, some really bad things that have happened, supposedly for the cause of Jesus. But what has happened more recently, like in the 1970s, was the introduction of age-specific ministries. And what that means is that my Mika, who's 4, can learn on a level that's for her. And then my Shay, who's 7, she can learn on a level that's for her. And so middle schoolers and high schoolers, they have their own groups. And as awesome as that is, and I am so for it because we want to serve your children, what has happened is that parents have abdicated their role as the primary spiritual influence in a child's life because that's what we bring them to church for. And I want to say today, Mom, it is time for us to take our role back as the primary spiritual influence in our child's life. I have a really awesome opportunity to be able to have a child in the early childhood and a child in the elementary and be able to work with our middle school and high school leaders. And I know that in every single one of those ministries, there are leaders who love your kids, who cry and who pray and who invest and who spend money and time on your children. But here's the thing. If we rely on those people to be the only people who are teaching our kids about our faith, we all fail. Because that's never how God intended for that to take place. He always, always, always intended for faith to be passed down within the home. And so, Mom, I want you to know today, I'm your biggest cheerleader. I love what I get to do here at the church, but I can't do what you can. I get to see your kid maybe 3 hours a week. Maybe. If they come to every single thing we do. But you get them in the car. You get them for dinner. You get them for breakfast. You get them for so much more time of the day. And that's where I want to encourage and be here for you to be able to help you instill this faith into your own children. Because you, Mom and Dad, Mom, you are the primary influence in your child's life. If we were to look at that scripture again, verse 7-9 talks about how it's not just something that we do here and there, but it's something that we can do all the time. This idea of investing faith into our kids can be something that we do all the time. But the problem with this, there's many problems, but one is that our culture values busyness. For some reason, busyness has become this badge of honor. It's become this thing that makes us feel like we're more important if we're busy. You ask somebody today how they're doing, oh man, life's good, but it sure is busy. Almost like, I'm more important because I'm busy. When what happens when we're overcommitted, when we are too busy, is that shoves out the time that we have with our kids. It shoves out the time that we get to have investing in our children and their faith. And you know what? Our kids have picked up on this. They are so used to going from one thing to the next thing to the next thing that when we finally take time to step back and to rest and recharge, what do they say? I'm bored. I don't know what to do because they don't know how to just be. They don't know how to be silent, calm, doing nothing. They don't know how to do those things because we're so busy going from one thing to the next. Mom, here's the next thing I want you to know. Your child spells trust, T-I-M-E. Your child spells trust, T-I-M-E. They do not care if the bathroom is spotless and if all the dishes are washed, dried, and put away. They want you. They want your time. They want your energy, they want your focus, and sometimes we're so stuck on that thing in our hand that we miss out on the time and the interactions that we can have with our kid. Some of us need to put our phones down and engage with the people who are already with us. Your kids need your time. Mom, I want you to remember this too. You are not raising babies, you're raising adults. You're not raising babies, you're raising adults. It always cracks me up when people are pregnant and like maybe they're counting and they're like, oh, there's 1.5 people. That's a whole person. Like it's a whole person inside of there. They're not a half person. When that baby is delivered, big, small, however big it is, it's an entire human being. And the things that we pour into them at this age, however tall they get, those are the things that they remember. Mom, do you know that you become the voice in your kid's head? The things that you're teaching your children right now, good or bad, become the voice in their head. You become the thing that reminds them about how to live. You become the thing that reminds them about how to act, about how to love people, about how to care for people, about what's most important. When I was in the hospital with our first daughter, I befriended a fellow mom who was super young, and I noticed that she had a bunch of friends come visit her, and so I was talking with her, and I went in her room, and I looked at the board, the whiteboard that the nurses use, and there was, like, these little stick figures drawn with mom's names above them and then tiny little pictures of babies, and I said, "What is that?" And she's like, "Oh, my friends and I, we made a pact that we are going to have babies together, because how fun is that? That as teens, we're going to just have babies together so we can raise them." And the thing that broke my heart, there were many, but one thing specifically was they were so excited about having babies but didn't have the thoughts that they're not just babies. They become terrible twos. And then elementary schoolers who know everything. And then disrespectful kids. They don't have to be those things. But you're not raising just babies. We're raising adults. And the things that we teach them now become the way that they live later on. Mom, you have a voice. God has given you a voice in your child's life. Last year, had this super awesome experience of both of our girls having their tonsils and adenoids removed. It's terrible. I don't know if any of you have had that happen with your children. Don't do it when they're 3 years old. It was awful. But our three-year-old, she went first, and you cannot reason with a three-year-old. I don't know if you know this or not, but it's terrible. You cannot reason with a three-year-old. And so here we are a couple days in. She's really struggling. Her throat's really hurting. Well, one of the things that the doctor had prescribed as a part of her treatment was that she was supposed to take a teaspoon of honey 3 times a day. Now, have you ever just straight up eaten a teaspoon of honey? It's terrible. Like, I know there's healing properties, and it will coat your throat, and it makes it better, but it was terrible. And so what would happen is our three-year-old, and she's a tiny little peanut of a kid, it took my husband and I, both of us, like, to strap her down, hold her down, and we basically waterboarded her with this honey. Like, one of us had our nose, squirted in her mouth, like, close her mouth up, because she wouldn't take it. But here's the point. I, as a mom, know that it's worth the fight to get that in her body because it's what's best for her. Because it's good for her. Moms, just because something is socially acceptable does not mean it's biblical or how God wants us to live. Would you let your 15-year-old decide, "Well, I'm not very good at math, so I guess I don't need to take it in school"? Or what if your 8th grader came home and said, "Hey, Mom, we're going to need to go shopping tonight because I need to get a dress. I'm pretty sure I'm going to marry my crush that I've never spoken to"? Or if your elementary kids came home and said, "Oh, I'm just not very good at art, so I guess I'm just not going to take that anymore"? Do we let that happen? No. We push them. We encourage them. We find them help. We find ways to come around them if they're struggling. But why is it that when it comes to our faith and our spirituality, we back off? And we don't put time there. Now, I'm not advocating at all for us to shove our faith down our kids' throats, because that turns them off as well. I'm not saying that we have to beat them over the head with the Bible. What I am saying is that we have an opportunity to instill our faith into our children in such a way that they want that. You know what? I'm here today because of the way that my parents lived their faith out in front of me. At 5 years old, as much as I could understand, at a kids' crusade, the Bible exploded, and the preacher said, "If you want to accept Jesus in your heart, you come forward," and my sister and I did. And at that point, I know that Jesus was in my heart. But I was just a good kid. I didn't do things that were bad because, well, mostly because I was afraid, not because I didn't want to. But it wasn't until when I was a freshman in high school and we moved to Kokomo for my dad to become a pastor that I saw him be the same person outside of ministry as he was in ministry. And it clicked to me then that faith, that living for Jesus myself, was not just something that my parents did. It wasn't just this thing that I'd been taught. It was something that I needed for myself. And were my parents perfect? No. They would tell you a million times no. They made a ton of mistakes. But because of the way that they instilled faith in me, by teaching me, by making it a regular part of the communication that we had in our home, I wanted Jesus for myself. If we're talking honestly today, I think some of us have bought into a lie. And that lie is that you have to know a certain amount of stuff, lived a good enough life, met all these criteria in order to be able to share your faith with your child. And those are a lie. We get so stuck in feeling insecure and like, I don't know enough. And what if I found out about this from my past? And gosh, I just blew up on them yesterday. There's no way I can instill my faith in them. You know what? You know what will heal your relationship the most? Is owning it and moving forward. There are times I have screamed at my children, and I know that if I don't acknowledge that, they're going to be worried about our relationship. But I can go to my kids and I can say, you know what, I was wrong. Mommy messed up. You should never be the brunt of my frustration. And ask for their forgiveness. Will you please forgive me for the things I've done? Will you forgive me for the things I said? I should never get that frustrated with you. Some of us need to ask for forgiveness from our kids and to be able to move forward. Don't let that lie that you're not good enough, that you don't know enough, that you're not strong enough in your faith keep you from sharing your faith with them. In fact, sometimes parents, I have had enough conversations with your students that when they know you're struggling, they want to partner with you. They want to pray for you. They want to be a part of helping your family do faith together. The last point I want to make here draws us back to the passage from Deuteronomy. You can pull up verses 5 and 6 for me. They say this, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Mom, if you want to share your faith effectively with your child, if you want to instill faith into your child, you have to have it yourself. You have to be connected to the source. We love best when we're connected to the source, when we are connected in our own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to allow the things that God's speaking into us to shape us into the people that God created us to be, to help our kids. And so, Mom, if you're struggling today, I know that as I look out here, we got a lot of different people in a lot of different places. If you're struggling today, please know this, you're not alone. Did you hear me? You're not alone. You don't have to do this parenting thing by yourself. Outside of these doors, right to the left, one of our pastors did a ton of work to refigure how it works out there. And we have a home center. And the purpose of the home center is specifically to partner with you as a parent. Maybe you feel like you're at your wit's end. Maybe you're like, hey, we're starting these conversations and I don't know how to have them. We want to partner with you. Stop by the home center at any point. It doesn't have to be today. It can be in 2 years from now. Stop by the home center. That's what it's there for, because we want to partner with you. You don't have to do this by yourself. As I close, let me say this. I know some of you are thinking, Kaylee, this is all really great because you're a pastor and you went to a Christian college, so your family must be perfect, right? No, far from. I could stand here and list all the ways that my family is not perfect. But what I do know is that today, each of us are given an opportunity to start again. You know that verse that says that God's mercies are new every morning? I never really understood what that was until I had kids, because you can get so frustrated with them during the day, and then there's just nothing quite as peaceful as a little baby sleeping. And I realized that that's how God sees me. He sees me just like my little babies when I'm frustrated during the day and just go in and look at them and they're just so angelic. God feels that way about us, that his mercies are new every single day. And so if this whole idea of instilling faith into your kids is something that you've never thought of, okay. You don't have to worry about the coulda, shoulda, wouldas. Now we're gonna go forward. We're gonna start today and we're gonna start talking about our faith. We're gonna start investing in our kids. We're gonna start praying together and maybe even getting outside of our house and serving. This doesn't have to be something that's full of shame. Maybe today you're like, you know what? I have done that. I feel like, you know, I'm in a good season. Our kids are doing really well. Here's what I do know. There are a lot of moms in this room who need a mentor. They need somebody who has been through it all to say, can I pray with you? Why don't I just take that baby for a couple hours so you can just rest? There are people in this room who I know have done parenting, raising kids phenomenally. And then there are some of us who feel like we don't do anything right. We mess up all the time. And if you are in that age group, maybe you felt like today I've only talked to the moms in the 0 to 18 range. But what I want to say to you today, mom, if you are one of those experienced moms who's kind of gone through this, find somebody to invest in. Find a mom who needs a support system. Find a kid who doesn't have a family. Find a kid who needs some support. You can do this for other people as well. And I want you to know, I'm here to be your biggest cheerleader. If I could have pom-poms up here, I'd be cheering for you because I believe in you, mom. I believe that God placed you where you are on purpose. I believe that he wants to use you. I believe even in our failures, God wants to use you to instill faith into your child. Let me pray for us. God, I thank you today for the mom who has bags under her eyes and wonders if her body will ever be the same from delivering that tiny miracle. I thank you for the mom who stays awake each night pleading with you to keep her wandering child safe. Thank you for the mom who has baked countless cookies for bake sales and for the mom who has taken in her grandchild because she knows it's what's best for that child even if she feels completely in over her head. Thank you for the mom who's doing it all by herself. Thank you for the mom who feels like nothing she ever does is good enough. And thank you most of all for sending your son to give us grace. For sending your son to remind us that you made a way for us to have a relationship with you. Thank you for this day that we get to celebrate moms across the world. Thank you for all the things that you do for us. And I pray that you'll be with us the rest of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.